Good evening. Our brother has asked that we read from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. I count it a privilege to open for my dear brother tonight. We've had many years together, and I may be older, but I thank God it's his position tonight and not mine. But I want to bless him for it, his willingness. May God open his scriptures tonight to us that we can see and understand. For it's that peace that Brother Glenn made mention of that I believe each one of us desires to have. Reading from verse 36 to the end of the chapter 7 of Luke. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and saith unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Shall we kneel for a word of prayer?
Well, it is good to be here this evening. On the way to church this evening, I had this thought, and any of you have had to do this, you understand. Like, what am I doing this for? Why did I say yes to this? And I just want to share some things tonight that maybe where I've found myself at many times in life, and out of this scripture, there is some interesting thoughts, and I know that it wasn't an awful long time ago. We had a sermon off of this text. We are going to mostly be looking at this lady. We're not going to talk too much about Simon or what Jesus told the Pharisee there. This is a thought that I have been pondering for quite some time, and it comes out of a song that I heard. If any of you know what halal music is, if you would look up the song, Turning Now to You, it's actually a song written about this story. And the first time I heard it, I thought it was really good, and I kept listening to it. And so that's kind of where the basis for this comes from. And you'll, if you know that song or hear it, you will hear sort of that theme. We're going to talk about 3 points. We're going to talk about this lady's condition before Jesus. And if I had to give a name to the message, it would be the miracle of a changed life. And this lady who comes to Jesus here in this scripture, we see in verse 37 that says she was a sinner. Now, I'm not so sure that it meant that she was not in the midst of changing her life there. I believe maybe she had repented from her sins at this time, but let's go through this. It says that she lived in the city down in verse 37, she heard about this, that Jesus was there, and she came there to see him. In verse 47, you will notice that Jesus mentions that her sins were many. Now, I don't think I need to go in and describe what this lady's life would have consisted of. It says she was from the city, she was a sinner. And I think that we understand where she could have been. And it appears that at some point before this story, she had met Jesus. I don't know what exactly that looked like, but she knew that Jesus was in this house, and I believe that at some point she had met him before. And as I was thinking about this lady, what was it like for her to first meet Jesus? How would have she looked at Jesus in the midst of her misery and her sin? And I was thinking about maybe the resistance she may have had when she first met Jesus. And maybe she was a little hesitant and she wanted to stay away from him. Maybe she was a little confused about who he was. And maybe she realized that growing close to Jesus would cause her to need to change. Maybe it would cause her conviction. Maybe she was scared to deal with things in her life. I'm just sort of guessing on this. There's a verse in Isaiah, a very well-known verse, Isaiah chapter 6. Every one of you have heard this, probably know this. Isaiah 6, verse 5 is the wrong verse. It's the verse where Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He realizes that he is a sinful man. And at the end of that verse, he says, "Because I have seen the Lord." He was receiving a vision from the Lord. He caught a glimpse of the Lord. And it made him realize that he was sinful. And I believe that Mary had caught a glimpse of the Lord. And I think some of the thoughts that she would have had would be along this line. Many of these are in that song. I am very sinful. I am a wretched person. I am ashamed. I am hopeless. I am guilty. I am miserable. Have any of you ever been there? I can tell you I have been. And what Jeff said this morning about us realizing as we grow older that our sins are greater and that we need God more was very was really good. I can identify totally. If you want to turn with me to Psalms chapter 38, we're going to look at a few verses there that David talks about. This is David praying to God for compassion of his pitiful case, the compassion of God for his sin. The first 10 verses there are what we're going to look at. Let's look at starting verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of this disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. I'm sure that Mary was thinking, if Jesus knew who I was, if Jesus knew that I was such a miserable person, I was so painful, I'm so unloved, I'm so used, I have so much emotional pain, I have so much of a desire for fulfillment in my life. All of her life, it seemed up to this point, would have been living for the flesh, with the fulfillment of the flesh. And in Romans 8, and we're going to not going to go there, but the verse is, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. One more verse in Psalms chapter 6 about the weakness of our flesh. Psalms chapter 6, 1-4. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. The idea there that God can fill our life with things, with fulfillment. He can give us what we need. The living for the flesh cannot please God. I'm wondering if this lady would have had times in her life where she got frustrated with trying to be good. And the efforts of her own strength and her willpower. Maybe there was times in her life where she thought, I need to be a good person. And I want to be good. And I'm just going to bear down and I'm going to be strong and I'm going to be good. And then that doesn't last very long. I've been there also. That doesn't last very long, does it? Because willpower and human effort and self-reliance is not, it just doesn't work. Not to say that it's totally useless, but let's go on. We can come back to that. Jesus has a way of drawing a person to him. That is a great mystery. I'm thinking of the word salt, and Jesus tells us that we are the salt of the earth, and one of the things about salt is that it draws things out. A few months ago, I stepped in a big nail, and I couldn't walk for a couple days, and I thought, well, I just got to tough this out, and I have to just keep walking through it, and I got to the point where I almost couldn't walk, and I started soaking my foot in this Epsom salt, and after 4 or 5 days, I thought it was getting better, and after about 10 days, it got to where I couldn't walk again. So I finally made a doctor appointment. I said, I must have did something that, more than just a hole in my foot. And I continued to soak this foot. And about the 10th or 11th day, I actually pulled a piece of boot out of my foot. that had somehow got in there with the nail. And as Jesus is drawing this lady to him over time, I was thinking about the fact that as Jesus draws us, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it's not just knowing information. It's not just knowing the truth. It's allowing God to draw you and being open to his work in our life. Hebrews 10:38 mentions the fact that we can be drawn or we can draw away. Just go there. Hebrews 10:38 says there, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." I think it would be safe to say that all of us, at some point or another, have resisted the Spirit's drawing. We may have told the Spirit to stay away because we don't want to address that issue. And I've been there also. We don't want to give that up. We didn't want to hear what the Spirit says to us. Just want to think about that ointment that she used. I don't know what it was. I didn't even study that, what it could have been. I know that alabaster is a type of marble. I did look that up, and that there's all kinds of carvings and things that you can make out of this alabaster, and it appears that this lady would have had some kind of a little spice box of ointment made out of marble. And in another scripture, when Mary of Bethany anointed his feet, it said that that time it was very expensive. Now, I don't know how expensive this ointment was. Doesn't mention it here. But could it be that the only thing that she had worth giving to Jesus is what she brought? Maybe it's the only thing she had that was worthwhile. She didn't have good works. She didn't have position. She didn't have money. She had nothing but this ointment. And as we see later, she brings her heart. So I believe that this woman was, at this point, already repentant. She realized her need of something more, even if she didn't totally understand. But in her life, she wanted to turn to something, and in this case, it was Jesus. So that is her position before she comes to Jesus. And now I want to look at her physically actually coming into the house there to see Jesus. And if we understand Jewish culture, and I don't understand it totally, but I do know that women didn't have the position that they even do today, and that women were not invited to eat with the rabbis or the Pharisees, and she would not have been welcome in Simon's house, especially a woman of the city of this character. And it says that she comes in there, and she stands behind him weeping. And in the Jewish houses, they would recline with their feet out, towards the center of the heads towards the center of the table, obviously, to eat. So she would have had access to Jesus' feet. And she stands behind him weeping. Now, once again, I'm going to draw some conclusions here that are not evident in this scripture, but I'm just wondering, was there any hesitation with this lady? Did she come to Jesus and she's crying and she stops behind him and she's standing there crying and she's wondering, what if Jesus sends me away? What if Jesus doesn't accept me? What if he lets me down like everyone else has? What if he just turns me away and I'm hurt again? You see there she was weeping, which I believe would be an indication of for the regret and pain that she may have had, also for her repentance, and I believe for her respect and love to Jesus. I believe she also indicated, as she begins to wipe his feet, the humility that was in her life. And I wish I understood this better, and I'm sure that some of you here do. Maybe you can help me. I don't know if this lady would have been veiled or not. The fact that she wiped Jesus' feet with her hair, which is what Jesus says is the glory of a woman. I think she gave Jesus everything that she had, and in doing that was a symbol of her humility and her broken heart. Psalms chapter 10, verse 17. We can get a lot of scriptures from David on this subject. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart, and thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. I think that she also knew, and you would get this from the song, that she would have never been invited into the presence of a king. She would never have been invited. So she's coming to Jesus. She's made that decision. And I was thinking of what it looks like. What does that look like for us? You know, I've heard that many times. I've heard that a lot of times. Bring it to Jesus. Just give it to Jesus. And that's great. But there's many times I didn't quite know what that looked like. What does it look like? How do I do that? I'm not bringing a box. What does it mean to bring a problem and give it to Jesus? How do you give it over? How do you do that? What does it look like physically? And I had struggles with that. What does it look like? And there's a verse in Galatians 4:9, and it talks about the weak and beggarly elements of the world, and there's just times where we turn to things in the world for fulfillment. There's times we turn to things that, whether it's sports or recreation, whatever it is, to try to fill something. And I told my children some time ago, that the flesh is sort of like ice cream. When you sit down to eat a bowl of ice cream, you look forward to it. I like ice cream, most of you probably do. And you sit down, you eat a bowl of ice cream, and the second that ice cream is gone, that's it. There is no fulfillment. You've eaten the ice cream. The only thing you can do is eat more ice cream. Because that's all it fulfills. It's just your taste. And when you put the ice cream in the freezer, you think, tomorrow night, I can get that back out again. And I can have some more ice cream. And that'll fulfill that need for that minute. That's just an example. There's many things in our life that we can turn to try to get fulfillment. And this lady comes and she throws everything to Jesus. And here's another thought that out of verse 38. as she kisses his feet and she anoints them, and the Pharisee, well, if Jesus would have known who this was, he certainly would have realized that this, if he was a prophet, he would have realized what type of person this was. This lady came to a place in her life where there was nowhere else to turn. I think that's very important. She may have tried other things, I don't know. But there was nowhere else to turn. And she decided to turn to Jesus. And this is why I think she totally, totally turned to Jesus. She totally needed Jesus. She says, I'm totally committed to you. And it's because she didn't care what somebody else thought. She was unwelcome there. She was out of place. And for a woman to do that, she would have certainly had the fear of man. The fear of what the leaders may have said. The Jewish leaders, the Pharisees. And in her heart, there was nothing that was going to keep her from coming. She was willing to be criticized so she could be close to Jesus. So now her condition after Jesus, and this is the best part, that Christ receiveth sinful men. And that is the only reason that we can be here, is because Christ receiveth sinful men. And that's the only reason that I can stand here and share this, because Christ receiveth sinful men. So what happens when we get close to Jesus? Matthew chapter 11, 28, I'm not going to turn there. It's Jesus' invitation to come unto me. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, calls it a new creature. I'm going to read that verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I think this is exciting. I looked up the word creature, and it just simply means a living being. That didn't help me a lot. So if I was to tell you that there is a creature standing at the back door, what would you think? When I think of the word creature, it's not necessarily something dangerous. It's not even necessarily something big. But it's something that's not identified. If I was going to tell you an elephant standing back there, That'd be what it is. But I'm going to tell you that there is a creature, and you would say, what is it? And to the world, in a sense, we are creatures, because we are not totally explainable. They don't know what it's about. To the unsaved, we are different. We have become something new. I'm thinking some about this woman, back to giving what she could to Christ. And as she gives that ointment to him and anoints his feet, she's just sort of laying everything out and saying, here I am. And I want to be forgiven. And Jesus knows that, as evidenced later. Down in verse 48, thy sins are forgiven. I think it's interesting that the lady probably gave everything she had. She gave her best. And Jesus, in turn, gave his best. She received the blood. She received the power of the blood that would wash away the sins. And I was thinking of the smell of that ointment. I don't know what it was. It probably would have been a good smell. A pleasant odor is a definition of fragrance. How sweet is that fragrance of forgiveness that God offers to us and what Jesus offers to us? How sweet it is. Romans 8:1, there is there, I better get that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This lady was brand new. There was no condemnation, no unforgiven sin, no shame and guilt, no shadows of unforgiven sin. I don't believe that means all of her problems were gone. I want to read a couple more verses that David wrote. Very familiar scripture. All of you know these verses. Psalms 51. This is the cry of David after his sin. And we see verses 10 to 12. Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I just want to think about that word create. He didn't say make a new heart. He said create one. He wanted God to start with something totally new. And that's what God does. He doesn't take the heart of sin that we have and try to twist it and conform it into something useful. He just goes ahead and starts over with something new. That is a miracle. Starting with something new. He says there to renew, to restore, to uphold me. Cast me not away. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, he calls it quickened. He also calls it changed in 2 Corinthians 3. He calls it transformed in Romans chapter 12. I remember as a boy, I had one of those little transformers. It would be a car, and you would twist this thing all around, and it would be a man. Totally transformed into something different. Matthew 13, it's converted. Romans 6, that Jeff talked about this morning, it's a reference to newness. Something totally new. So, just a couple more thoughts to go along with this. Brother Duane said that when he asked me to do this, he said, it doesn't matter so much how long you preach. He said, if you get done sooner, they might be happy. So, just a couple thoughts. We don't have to be living a totally sinful life as this lady to have needs. We don't have to be a terrible person coming out of drug and alcohol abuse or anything to have needs. If you don't realize that you have needs yet, you just don't realize it yet. Because we are a needy people. And the song that Dustin led, I Need Thee Precious Jesus, is just a precious song because we all need it. And I was thinking many times over my life when I had a need and there was an invitation, and I would think, nah, it's not that big of a need. There's other needs here that are important. There's some that haven't accepted Christ. That's a need. And I realize that I'm not talking to a group of unsaved people, but there's still needs. There's still needs here. And when Jesus said, the very last verse there, in verse 50, thy faith has saved thee. That's a miracle. Then he says, go in peace. And I think the desire for all of us tonight will be that we could leave here with a peace. And if you can't leave here with a peace, that means you have a need. And Like I said, there's so many times where maybe I should have stood and maybe I should have acknowledged that need. Maybe it's simply that you want to have prayer with someone. And maybe you're scared of what someone else will think if you need prayer. I have been there also. I'm going to ask Dustin to sing a verse of invitation. And if you have a need, I don't care particularly what it is. Maybe you just want prayer. You'd be welcome to stand, and there are ministers here who would be glad to pray with you. Dustin, go ahead.
All who are able, please stand for closing prayer.